Lord, thank you that we can finish our time of worship this afternoon by declaring, your goodness will lead me home. Amen. Thank you, Eleanor. Thanks to the band. I'm going to invite Anthony to come up if he's still here. I can't see him. Oh, there he is. Okay, great. Okay, Anthony's going to come and speak to us about persistence in prayer. So let's just pray for Anthony as he comes up, that the Lord really anoints him. Let's all pray for him. Let's reach out our hands and pray that we all receive what the Lord wants for us today. Father, thank you. We give you thanks for Anthony. Lord, we give you thanks for the way he hears from you, Lord. Thank you for all his work and labor in putting this talk together for this afternoon, Lord, and his listening to you and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that we would receive what you have for us today through the words that Anthony speaks. Just anoint him and bless him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for your prayers. Right. Does it say intentionally left blank? Good. There you go. It worked. Okay. So how many of you have prayed prayers of intercession or petition recently? Great. That's good. Whew. Okay, the next answer. Have you always had all your prayers answered? Okay. Okay, Anne's going to give the talk, I think. Well, it's rather natural, isn't it, to pray? We want to lift everything up to God. We've been doing it today. And it's also very natural that we want those prayers answered, is it not? Which is why when you said no, some of you said it with a slight sort of, no, not yet. So we want them answered. And when we pray, we're in a conversation with God. And we listen, and we hear the answer, or we don't. So prayer with God is a conversation. And as I get a little bit older, I know I don't look it, my prayers have become more and more prayers of petition and intercession. It's what I spend most of my prayer time in the morning doing. And it gets longer and longer. I didn't start from a great, okay, man. I'm not bragging here. I'm just saying that that's my focus. And we know that God is near and has a listening ear. I know that. I know that every morning. And so those prayers display to God and to you all now that I have an expectation that God is there. I have a confidence that he's listening, and I have a confidence that he's answering those prayers. In Philippians 4, verse 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's what I do. Don't we all? We all do it. You just told me that. So through petitions and intercession, we ask God for insights, inspiration, love, forgiveness, understanding, how to know him better. We ask him for the simplest things. We ask him for good weather on a certain day because we might be going out with our family. We ask him for good sleep. Often those prayers are answered the way we expect them. Not always. We also ask him for the bigger things. Faith for ourselves, for our families and friends, peace in our world, healing, protection from famine, floods, war. And that's right. But what I've noticed over the past few years is that I have developed a tendency of being used to not seeing an answer, not hearing an answer. In fact, what I see is not seeing an answer. Often. Incessantly. I pray for that long list of people and circumstances and situations and myself every day. And some of my most heartfelt regular prayers are for individual family members, for difficult circumstances, for their faith, for their health, for their happiness, for you all, many of you by name every single day, for many circumstances that I don't have any control over. In fact, that's the recognition, isn't it? That I don't have control over any of those circumstances that I'm praying for. And I have seen answer to prayer, but for the most of the time, I don't see it and I don't hear it. Over years. And so when I read scripture, Isaiah 65, verse 24, before you call, I will answer. While you are still speaking, I will hear. And yet I struggle to see and hear that has happened. So I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to not seeing that. And so I continue with my dry prayer. I mean, faithfully, I still continue with it. I believe that God is hearing them, but I don't see it. Or we give up. Some of us give up. We get immune to this kind of lack of an obvious visible answer. We lose heart. So that was the preamble. And we're currently in the middle of a short series that we're making up as we're following the Lord and listening to him and what he has for us that provide us with a perspective on where we're at currently as a community and as individuals on Lamentations leading to hope, centering our lives on God and helping to provide us with the tools to move from here where we're at, to there. Here is the circumstances we find ourselves in, and here is the perspective that we have on that. And there is still the circumstances that we find ourselves in, but with the right perspective, leading to life in the context of God's promises and with the eternal perspective, seeing from God's point of view. So our response today and our response always is prayer. Now, I just want to remind you, there are different types of prayer. We know there's praise and worship. There's petition, asking God for our own needs, including repenting. Intercessions, asking for the needs of the world and for others. And today, I'm going to focus on prayer, petition and intercession, as I started. And I was inspired for this when I think it was about 4 weeks ago, I read the passage from Exodus chapter 17. And you can click now, please, Matthew. Where the Israelites were on a very long journey to the promised land. And that is a type of our journey. You know, when I use that word type, it's in italics, and it's basically to say that we're on a journey. We're journeying from here. We journeyed from over there. But we're journeying from here to there still, ultimately heaven. And their journey, like ours, was really tough. They had loads of opposition. They were going to the promised land. And in this passage, they face Amalek, and they needed to fight and pray. So I will read it. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So Moses is this praying person who wasn't in the battle, Joshua was, and his arms were raised in prayer, in faith, with visible effect. He saw the outcome. So can you imagine me hearing this? It was a Sunday or I was reading it, I can't remember, and I was thinking about prayer and dry prayer, and then I hear this, and it was tiring, you know. He was tired, he had to sit down, he had his mates to help him. But when Moses prays, the battle goes well. And when he lowers his arms, the battle goes poorly. And we're all intercessors. You told me that this morning, just now, didn't you? Right at the beginning. When we pray, the battle goes well. When we lower our arms, the battle goes poorly. But how does this fit with the context of me and some of you not seeing or hearing God's answer to prayer? Okay, first of all, it reminds me to be faithful. I just have to continue to do it. It's hard, physically hard. For Moses, it was. He had faith, but he didn't always have the strength. And so he obtained practical physical help. And sometimes when we pray, we are lifted up by the prayer of someone next to us. They might not be holding our arms, but they are definitely holding us. So that was my inspiration. My inspiration was that I need to be constant, faithful, persistent in prayer. I probably need help. I definitely need help. But I still had so many questions. And it often doesn't help that the Bible gives you these wonderful stories that always tell us about prayers being answered. And these are the first things I think of when I think about prayer being answered. It's, yeah, it gets answered because we have examples of it all through the Bible. Even ones that happen over a really long period of time. Abraham, God promised him a son, promised him quite a lot more than that. He waited, obeyed, believed God until the promise materialized. The promise was made when he was, you know, about 75 years old, and it came true when he was 100. So that's only 25 years. Okay. But still, it's a visible answer to prayer that I haven't seen for those things that I'm praying for every single day. I haven't yet seen it. A similar example, but different, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They prayed persistently for a child. They prayed the whole time. They were really old. So this prayer was not likely to be answered the way they expected it. But actually it was. Their son John was born. And we have loads of examples from our own lives, but also from church history. Of course, I was immediately reminded of Monica and Augustine. We know Augustine, 4th century, great Christian, famously so, a great teacher of the faith. But he wasn't always that, and as a young man, he never quite was on the right track. He went seriously off the rails, and Monica, a devout Christian woman, prayed for him daily, constantly, faithfully. She didn't see an answer to that prayer for most of her life. And then just a year before she died, he was converted. He turned to the Lord. He was baptized. One of the great teachers of the faith. She didn't see the fruit, but she saw that direct answer to prayer. Okay, how does that help me? It might help you. That's why I thought I'd put it in. It might help you to be reminded of those things. But how does it help me when I can't see my prayers being answered now? Some of which probably I will be praying for 25 years. Okay, so what I wanted to do was I wanted to look at what Jesus said about this. Okay, can we go, that was meant to be blank there, but we'll go 2 slides, please, Matthew. Okay, so just listen to this. Jesus is talking, he's giving us a parable. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Okay, I love this parable. We had a whole series on parables, was it last year? And there's always a little twist, and we had to figure out what the twist was. Well, this parable starts with the message. And he told them a parable, and before we hear the parable, we get the punchline, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So that's quite a good start. So we know that's the message. And that's how I started. I started by telling you that we lose heart. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you this message not to lose heart. So there must be something in this for each one of us. Something in it for me, anyway. If the widow could manage to change the dishonest judge's mind with her incessant petition, how much more will God, who is the good and just Father, vindicate his elect, as it says in verse 7, who cry to him day and night? There's something persistent about that. We're crying to God day and night. He will not delay long over them. And in verse 8, he will act speedily. That word speedily and no delay, that's tough for me to hear. In the context of 25 years or whatever, when we haven't yet seen an answer. But even in this passage, cry to me day and night, gives me the understanding that persistence is required. I'm not just meant to pray once and expect. Persistence is required. Immediately visible response is not given. And we have to kind of somehow reconcile this with this Monica praying all her life, with things taking a long time. But Jesus urges us to pray and not lose heart. And I suppose you won't be in the same position as me, but you might have been in such a time when we're tired, when we're a little bit discouraged, especially when our prayers seem a little bit ineffective. But Jesus answers us. He says, don't lose heart. And God promptly answers. Although it doesn't necessarily mean he will do it the way we want him to. I think we need to be clear about that. We don't actually know God's perfect mind. Dan touched on this in the weekend away, and we've sort of reflected on it a bit. God is outside time. God made time. I mean, that's a strange thing to imagine, but it's true. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows everything and understands and knows how everything fits together outside time, and he places it in time. Imagine you having a single picture that contains within it all of history. It's a single thing. If you imagine time not being created yet, if there is no time, then everything is now. That's one way of looking at it. And so for God, everything is now. God understands and sees everything, the whole of history, outside time, as now. He answers prayer outside time, but they have an effect inside time, with full knowledge of his perfect will. So it's like the example of the ants on the ground, you know, scurrying around. All they can see is a very short distance away. They can't see the beautiful mound that they're building. They can't see so many things. All they're doing is their little job. They have no perspective. And then we, seeing that from above, have a much broader, bigger perspective. We can actually imagine where that came from and where it was going to. But God has that perfect understanding of time, of everything that has gone before and that everything that will happen. So prayer is not my own personal magic wand that will give me, the little ant, my answer the way I understand it. But without that obvious direct answer is this key that prayers and prayer helps us keep faith in God and to entrust ourselves to him even when we don't understand his will. We don't yet understand, but we offer ourselves and entrust ourselves and all the circumstances we pray for to God. And God doesn't get tired of hearing the same prayers. Matthew 7:7, we all know it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock, and so we keep on doing that. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. Persistent supplication, it comes out again and again. And Jesus himself, in many ways, is our model of this. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard for his godly fear. Okay, this is difficult to understand, but I'll just say what I think. Jesus prayed supplication. He's our model. He prayed constantly. He did this in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember. He said, not my will, but yours. If it be his will that this cup could let him could pass. But no, not my will, but yours. He entrusts himself fully to God's will. How was his prayer heard? I mean, he did die. I mean, in Hebrews it says, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications to save him from death. Of course, his prayer was heard because he did die. But he was safe from death. In fact, he gave us complete victory over death through death itself. So the prayer was answered. But what I want to focus on here is not what was prayed for, but the relationship. The entrusting of himself fully to the Father's will. So prayer transforms our desire and models it according to the will of God. As we pray persistently, day and night, knocking, we're being transformed into the will of God. Prayer keeps us in that relationship with God, opens the channels, keeps them open, aligns our wills and our minds to his. So let's go two slides down, back to the Jesus parable. And just read the final verse. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, where does that fit in this? There is this connection between persistent, day and night, prayer that builds faith and that builds on faith. The parable is about being persistent, but the parable is about faith. And I think we need to ask for that faith that is shown in our incessant, persevering prayer, like that of the widow in the parable, a faith that gives us his perspective, a faith that brings us closer to him. I think it's about faith. So our time is not God's time. God is outside time. We don't know when he will respond, but we know that he will. The Lord wants us to persevere and to continue to pray. And our persistence in prayer shows our trust in God. It is a demonstration of our faith, and it builds our faith, and it builds our relationship with the Lord. So I'm just coming to the end. I just want to remind you of a form of prayer. Petition and intercession often come in the form of a litany, and it's a form of prayer where you maybe repeat some lines with a fixed response. We use it in our Seder meals. It would have been enough for us. We use it in the Psalms, Psalm 136, his love endures forever. So what I'd like to do is if you just go on to the blank slide, please. What I'd like to do is I'd like you to repeat after me. It won't be a litany, but we will repeat some parts before we then move into intercession together. And maybe we should stand. And just repeat after me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Your will be done. Your will be done. Give me faith, O Lord. Strengthen my faith, O Lord. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Your will be done. Your will be done.
Great, thanks, Anthony. Please, everybody keep standing if that's okay, those unless you can't. You've given us a lot to reflect on, Anthony, and we're just going to take a bit of time to do some intercession now, but intercession with hope. I mean, we always do intercession with hope, but asking, seeking, and knocking. So we'll do things continually in a litany. So I'm just going to ask Eleanor to come up, and she's going to pray a Taizé chant that we're going to say together as we respond together to these prayers. So I'm just going to read out a series of intercessions, and then we're just going to respond by saying, O Lord, hear my prayer, the Taizé chant that most of us will know, and those of us who don't, you'll pick it up pretty quickly. So we're basically responding to all of these intercessions by saying together. We're standing next to each other, and we hear each other saying it. So we're like Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' arms as we pray these prayers of intercession together. So I'll just read out a prayer, and then we'll go straight into the Taizé chant for each one of these intercessions. We pray for a recentering of our lives on the Lord and for a deeper prayer life.
Hear my prayer.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
Pray for our relationships in this community, including for deeper agape love for the brothers and sisters, for grace to forgive, for grace to repent, for grace to forbear.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer.
Pray for the Lord's work of healing in the lives of young people and families who've been affected by the actions of Jamie Treadwell. Pray for fruitfulness in our outreaches and our individual witness, that God's word would go out and not return empty through the work of YPO, Koinonia, Youth Link, and our own witness.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
We pray for the poor and the needy, the sick and the vulnerable, that the Lord would give us his heart of compassion and generosity for them. Pray for all the Christian people, for a deeper unity among us, and particularly we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world persecuted because of their faith.
Seat for a couple of minutes, brothers and sisters.